Plum Love Foods Live. Serious chef talk. Chef Plum.
I was a pro wrestler and a Laser Quest champion.
Chef Jeff.
People like me a lot.
Chef Dan.
Man, all that hard seltzer, man, got me bench pressing Yorkies.
Chef Rob.
I'm bougie.
The Hulkster.
Brother, I was at Arby's scarfing down a chicken cordon bleu.
Chef Dave.
I don't have AIDS. I have Lyme disease. It's different.
Plum Love Foods Live every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio and podcasted everywhere.
I have no idea why people listen to this.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your niece on flaws. Are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Jeffy, it's Thursday night. Thursday night. Another one, living the dream in quarantine, brother. You know the deal. What are we up to here?
Oh, man.
What are we up to? I don't know. 40 days of quarantine or some shit?
I stopped counting. I don't know why you're counting. It just makes it worse.
It doesn't. It doesn't help at all, does it? When we fucking try to
think
about it.
Doesn't help.
No. It doesn't help at all. Why are we counting? Why am I counting? I can't help it.
I don't know. It's just day. It's night. It's night in quarantine.
It is nighttime. That is correct. It is nighttime in quarantine. You're damn right. Listen, welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. We're happy you're here. Joining myself is, of course, always the svelte, the fire to my desire, the one, the only Chef Jeffy. Jeffy, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for sitting here through this. I know it's been a little bit crazy because I feel like we're doing these shows constantly because we're doing the brand new series on Station Head. And last night, what a fun show we had.
Oh, man, I'm having a blast on Station Head. It's so much fun. The listeners that we've been getting on there are great. I love interacting with all the people. It's super cool.
Yeah, it's been
I love the music
fun.
Aspect.
And so that's what we're doing a little differently on that program on Wednesdays. We're adding a music deal to it, which is pretty cool because, you know, it's as chefs, I mean, we listen to so much different music. I mean, that's all I can really say about it, right, Jeffy?
Yo, man. Music spin for the win. I'm telling you.
That's
good shit. Out here, we're in the kitchens all the time. All we do is listen to music. And it's everything you can imagine because you get bored, man. Yeah, so it's like, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get a lot of really great artists on there, like really interesting people, all different walks of life. It's going to be really cool. You should tune in.
Well, last night, good brother Benny Bassett joined us on the program. Who was
huge.
You know, we weren't sure, but then he came on, and man, what a great guy, right?
Love that guy, man. Love that guy. What a positive, like, good brother, man. Just came on shining and, you know, just made us laugh and then came back on to answer some of Dave's questions because, you know, Dave doesn't listen, I guess.
Well, Dave dropped the hammer. Dave was like, let me tell you what I think about this song. And I was trying to make fun of him, and... You know, he just can't. And listen, here's the best thing. You can download the Station Head app right now. Check out the Chef Plum channel on there, and you'll see all the shows are actually archived. So you can go there and pick them out, listen to them. You know, they're all on there now. And they've
got a new feature? That's really cool.
Yeah, man. They got some new shit coming, bro. You'll see. There is a high probability that this program in a year will be on Station Head. High probability.
What?
Yeah, once they get the RSS feed thing figured out, we might be on there.
I'm in. Mm-hmm. Let's do this.
Tonight, we got a great program, Jeffy. One of my favorite guys in the entire world. Executive producer now, Michael Petrello, good buddy of mine, is going to join us on the program. We're going to talk all about, you know, content producing, what's going to happen when this is all said and done, this virus. And also, Michael is going to tell you exactly what to do to get cast on any Food Network show you want to. And you know what? I think he's actually got some Food Network casting coming up he's going to tell us about.
Nice. You think he can help me with my OnlyFans page?
Yeah, he probably can. He can help you. He's good at that.
That'd be great. Because I'm just trying to, like, I'm not getting any hits.
No?
And it's weird. Yeah, it's kind of hurting my feelings a little bit. I just thought, I mean, somebody out there with, like, a little big love, and I'm looking to shake it.
We did reveal last night on the Station Head show that you do sit around the house in your beaver pelt Speedo and sequined robe. So maybe that would help if we actually tell people about that. They can come see it.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, this gun needs a holster. It's made out of beaver pelt. It's beautiful.
Do. Did you say you want the Hulkster? Because I wish I had a drop for the Hulkster right now. God damn it.
No, I said my gun needs a holster. What?
Is that what you
the
said?
The Hulkster?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Oh, well, I didn't know.
Oh, man. You took it to another weird place. I was going to another weird place.
I thought you did.
Well, we just veered in two weird directions.
Jesus. Yo, come in right now. Are you kidding me? Chef Dave just jumped back in there and said he has legit 300 followers on his OnlyFans. And, of course, Chef Dan chiming in with his banana hammock. And that was a picture he sent, by the way, an SMS photo. Remember the SMS photos? That's what that was.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how I feel about that, Jeffy. I don't know.
I legit have 300 followers. Yo, son of a bitch. They're all from Detroit.
600 a month. Let me tell you something right now. You got to check out the Station Head show, man. Download Station Head. It's an app. It's easy. The only problem is it can only be on Apple at the moment, but we have a link. We're one of the first shows to get a link that we can send you. You can listen to it, you know, on your computer or something like that. Or if you have an Android phone, you can listen from there with a web link via Google Chrome. So, listen, they're growing and growing, man. We were on that app before it first started, and it was totally different, and now it's growing. So we had a lot of fun on it, man. Last night's show was really good. I highly recommend you guys check it out. We had a lot of fun on it.
It was great. We were just jamming. It was a lot. It was great.
Yeah,
it was great.
His music was great. We were all vibing really well.
Yeah, Dave was on fire, man. If you ever want to really see why we love Dave, last night's show was a great example of like how he is when he's not usually, I don't know, super high and trying to talk to us.
Look, he came on the program and we played one of the artist song, one of the artists, Benny Bassett, one of his songs, and great song, actually. It's a really cool song, very great for now. It's called Live Where You Love the Sky. And we're talking about it. We're having a great time talking about it. And then, you know, we get Benny on out of the show. He had to hit the road. He was actually in the middle of traveling. And Dave was like, oh, I had a question for him. I was like, well, shit, ask it. And let's see if we can get him back on. He asked the question and, you know, Dave starts breaking down like what the song means to him, and we were all like, "What?" Anyway, I don't want to give away the baby or give away the bathwater with the baby. What's that shit called? I don't know. I'm not trying to give away the whole goddamn thing right now, Jeffy. That's what I'm trying to say.
You just GW Bushed it.
Whatever that means, I don't know. Anyway, so, whoa,
what?
Holy cow! Speak of the devil. Who saw this coming? Out of nowhere, early in the show, Chef Dave is joining us. Hey, Dave.
Yo.
Dude, I don't know if you overheard what was going on. We were just complimenting your performance on the program last night.
Wow. Cool. Thank you. Like, I was listening, and then, like, phone cut out for a second, and then all of a sudden, I hear my song. So I was like, all right, it's time for me to show up.
It's time for me to show up. Did you put your headband on and take off the top part of your gi?
I was just waiting, sitting in the living room like that.
Oh.
I already had the top part of the gi off and the headband on.
All right.
Nice.
Doing one finger push-ups, just waiting.
Nice, nice. Like, is that like a cock push-up?
No, I can only do one cock push-up.
That's all you
one
need.
One finger push-ups. Well, I mean, it depends on your day.
That's all you need is one. Jesus. If I can do one cock push-up, let me tell you what. I can do the propeller. I put it up there and spin myself. It's amazing.
All right, that could be like a new mode of transportation, you know, to decrease your carbon footprint.
It could be. Listen, I want to do the quick check-in with you gentlemen. We made a bet. Well, I made a bet and then dragged you guys into it with the one, the only Diamond Dallas Page, former WCW heavyweight champion, former WWE champion, now, you know, fitness guru, Diamond Dallas Page, 60 years old, looks phenomenal. He was on the program here a few weeks back. We all started it, the program.
Amazing energy.
If we could lose some weight, would he come out and do some stuff with us in the Hamptons this summer? He said he definitely would. I've been doing it like a champion. I feel very flexible today. I can stand and lift my leg up in the air straight, which we're going to post a picture of that. I feel like I'm doing a great job. Jeffy, how are you doing with your DDP yoga?
I'm doing it. I'm finding that I have like some shoulder impingement, so I have to do some modified stuff. But I'm doing it, and it's hard.
Well, that's okay. That's all about you. You gotta do what works for you. Remember, he says it. Do what works for you, Dave.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing it.
Are you doing it?
Yeah, I'm doing it.
found out yesterday that, you know, my knee likes to slide in and out of place. So that's a fun one. But besides that, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm walking the stairs. I was doing 100 push-ups a day, but, you know, that catches up really quick. Like, I think my 11th or 12th day in, my shoulder is just like, you're done doing this for a minute.
Way do you get to where you're doing exploding push-ups, where it's a slow count up, slow count down, hold, and then explode up. I text him and said, exploding push-ups, you're an asshole. And
he just, that sounds like, what is that, like a 10-second push-up?
A little bit different, but yeah, 10-second push-ups are another one too. So we're working on it, guys. We're working on it. We're hoping to post some pictures here soon. I've been doing this for 6 weeks straight. I tell you what, I feel great, and the program really does work. It helps your back. It's definitely shrinked the area of my back pain, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, you guys, we got a great program tonight. Good brother Michael Petrello is going to join us and talk all about some stuff he's got going on and talk about Taken at Birth. It aired on TLC. You guys got to check this out. This whole fucking thing is just crazy. I was playing some of it for Jeffy earlier. Jeffy, how fucked up is
that? Dude, so bananas, man. So bananas. I just can't. I was like, what? Like, I just can't believe that's a, like, you know, when life is stranger than fiction.
That's it.
You know, it's too much.
it's insane. So we're going to get to Michael here in a second when we get back from a break. But, of course, we just got to talk a little bit about our coronavirus and COVID and everything going on right now here in my state, the lovely, great state of Connecticut. We are going to start doing some opening, almost like a soft opening on May 20th. Restaurants can have some outdoor dining. And I want to tell you guys about this that was interesting. They just released, they're doing an executive order to allow restaurants to set up a patio sort of situation, be able to put tables in some of their parking lot and on sidewalks and shit. I just see problems all over the place with that. Jeff, when you hear me say that, I mean, I think the heart's in the right place, but it just seems like a mess waiting to happen.
Well, I guess it depends on exactly what you mean. Like, they can put tables out front and in the parking lot of where they're... I mean, if it's only a handful of tables, just to add some seating, just so they can spread people out so there's not, you know...
Well, let's figure it out, because you got to have... Basically, you're going to need to have... The tables have to all be 6 feet apart. So, you know, I mean...
You probably only can fit 4 or 5 tables in a dining room, you know, most... Maybe 6 to 8, you know, something like that. And then you'd have to put people outside. So if you could add, you know, 8 tables outside, that's a lot.
It's something, right? I mean, at least you have
spread and spread it out. Yeah. I mean, parking might be a bitch depending on where you are.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Dave, what do you think, man, when I tell you that?
I think they're going to let you do outside seating before indoor, right?
Well, that's what I just said.
So then what? I know that, but I'm just reiterating. Okay. Anyway.
Dave, you were on fire last night. What the fuck happened?
I was drinking last night. Let's see. I don't know. I think it's probably like the only way to do it, but at the same time, it's going to be like, what, less than 50% capacity with outdoor seating. So is it even worth doing? Because who the fuck can stay open at 50% capacity and make money and pay their staff?
Well, you have restaurants that are doing pretty big takeout business right now that if they could get in there and do that takeout business, then have, you know, 5-8 tables or whatever, and they could, you know, then give 2 servers their jobs back. You know, I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing, but if you're giving 2 servers their jobs back and you have the PPP loan, then you have to spend 75% of that on your payroll. How are you going to do that when you can only have 50% of your capacity?
Yeah, I'm not even talking about the loan thing, man. I'm just talking more about the restaurants that are trying to stay open, dude. And these guys, you know, I know a lot of my good brothers that I know here, John Brennan, you know, my buddy Aki, they're just fighting to try to stay afloat during all this stuff. And, you know, some of the guys I know said they've lost about 20% of their business, and some of them have said they've lost about, you know, 80% of their business. So they're just trying to do anything that can help stay open. And I know John was very excited. Chef John Brennan was very excited about, you know, being able to put some kind of table situation up to welcome guests back in some capacity to get things, to keep things going. You know, I think it's, I don't know. I think it's a move in the right direction. I think we're going to see a lot of it this summer. And the servers all have to wear masks and have to wear gloves and all that other shit, man. So, you know, I think it's a new normal for now, at least, Jeff.
Of course they do. I mean, they have to.
I mean, do we see bougie masks and shit coming up? Is that what's going to happen? Are we going to have like masks made out?
They're already out there.
Yeah.
I already ordered
I ordered a Predator mask that I'm going to mod out just to wear around because I'm tired of having the cloth on my face.
All right.
Full face covering.
All right.
Okay, terrific.
Thanks for that, Dave.
That's cool.
I'm looking forward
to seeing
that.
I think people get creative like that. I think people wear like clown masks with like, you know, protective covering inside of it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Well, check it out. When we get back, we're going to be joined by a really good brother. Executive producer Michael Petrello is going to come on here. He's going to tell everybody exactly what to do to get cast on TV. Because he can make that happen. He's going to make sure everybody gets cast. I'm just kidding. He can't do that. But he's going to give you some tips and pointers. We're going to talk all about the new series, Taking It Birth on TLC. It's a fucked up story, man. Talk about that. We're going to talk about some other projects. And, you know, look, the guy's done a lot. So it's always fun to have good people with great stories on. So we're going to have that. Plus, Jeffy's got some news stories for a little bit later on tonight. That's all an action-packed program here on Plum Love Foods tonight, huh? Action-packed.
Bam, bam, bam. Action.
Bam, bam, bam. I like that, Jeffy. I'm down.
Get him. Get him. Bam, bam, bam.
That's right. You guys stay right there. Chef Jeff, Chef Dave, and myself, we'll be right back. You guys hang tight. Check it out, Plum Love Foods Live, right here on Spreaker Radio. We'll be right back, guys.
It's new. It's improved. It's powdered water.
Powdered water.
Our team of scientists and water specialists have toiled many long hours to develop a complicated and proprietary formula. But the wait is over.
Powdered water is here.
It's totally organic. Gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
It's cleaner than Lake Minnetonka.
Powdered water.
We took powdered water to the streets of New York City.
To New York City.
And let some lucky people try powdered water.
I don't get it. Do I sniff it?
Powdered water.
So I add it to my water and it makes it taste better.
Powdered water.
Powdered water is amazing. I can feel the difference now. Wow.
Wait.
Wow.
Is that good?
Just read it.
Powdered water.
Powdered water may cause fits of hysteria, hip dysplasia, hypertension, restless leg syndrome, lupus, loss of toes, AIDS, insomnia, demonic possession, but in some cases, it makes you awesome.
A sizzle plate product.
Oh yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives. The knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com. Coming back live here on a Thursday, Plum Love Foods Live. Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, Chef Dave joining us early in the program right now. That's what's going on. Yo, I got to be honest with you guys. Ergo Chef, if you haven't done so yet, man, their new website is up. It's pretty dope.
Oh, nice.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, they're doing a great job on it, man. And you might see someone you know on that website there on Ergo Chef. They shot some of it in my kitchen, which is pretty cool. And the website looks great. Michael did a great job on that, man. You know, Mr. Knife over there. The website looks great. And, of course, that promo code is active. Go on there and get yourself some new gear, man. It's pretty cool. And the Ergo boys are doing a great job. And, you know, the good news is I think that during this whole virus situation, man, they've been doing pretty well. I was happy to hear that.
That's what's up.
It's always good when you hear the good brothers doing well. Right now on the program.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. We're going to be joined by one of my favorite people. It's funny because when you do castings for TV shows, and Jeffy and Dave, I got to tell you, man, it's tough because you meet these casting people. You try really hard to impress them, and you want to make sure you do the right thing. And, you know, a couple years ago in the heyday of Food Network, you know, competition programs, I would talk to these people all the time. And, You would talk to them, you'd audition, and you'd never hear from them ever again until it was time to be on the show. It's fucking pretty goddamn remarkable what would happen. However, one of them that I spoke to, we talked and we had laughed a whole bunch and kind of became buddies, and I still talk to this day. He's moved on from not only doing casting now, but executive producing, making some pretty wild, wild fucking content. The new series is on TLC. You can catch that on Hulu as well as TLC.com. It's also on the TLC channel on YouTube. It's called Taken at Birth. It's fucked up, bro. You got to see it. It's all about black market babies. It's crazy. I don't know what happened to Michael. He went from food shows to doing this crazy shit. On the program right now, one of the nicest brothers you'll ever meet, Michael Petrella. Michael, what's up, brother?
Sup, fellas? I wasn't told I was supposed to be wearing my beaver pelt.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have one. Always wear it. It's cool.
That's a good point. It should always be on. Yeah. Base layer. Beaver base layer.
That's right.
Beaver base layer. It's you know, it's waterproof. It's if you comb it the right way, it's very comfortable.
Oh.
I have no doubts.
Does it get knotty? I feel like it'll get knotty.
Not if you comb it.
Knotty?
Yeah, knotty.
It could be knotty.
I mean, do you put like beard oil on
it? It doubles as a paddle.
Do you beard oil your beaver pelt? I don't understand.
You're supposed to. I mean, if you comb it the right way, it's very comfortable. You comb it the wrong way,
use like a
it's Velcro.
Wow, you guys do a lot of information on beaver pelts.
That didn't take long, huh? We are derailed.
Screeching halt. Oh, shit. Michael, dude, listen. It's always great to talk to you, man. You were on this program a long-ass time ago, and boy, has shit changed since that happened, man. You were just executive producer, and you're a big wheel now. You're the big deal. You're the bee's knees.
I don't know about that, but no, it's been a pretty crazy ride, and I'm fortunate, but also work my ass off. You know that, so you know, it's been. I can't remember the last time I was on, but it's always fun to talk to you guys. So thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I wanted to talk a little bit about, just jump right into it and talk about Taken at Birth, because I mean, the shit that goes on in this world is just fucking crazy. But the craziest part about it is you seem to be able to find it.
Yeah, well, some might call it a character flaw, but that's I've spent, you know, 15 plus years doing casting, and more than once stories have come up that you know are worth telling, and sometimes they're not a fit with whatever project maybe you're working on, but that kind of mentality doesn't stop just because a job does. Like if I'm hired to look for a Food Network host, I'll do that and I'll do it well, but then when that job is over, everyone's happy, that doesn't stop my kind of inquisitive brain and hearing people's stories and looking for something unique and different. And those are the things that all has always spoken to me. And, you know, giving a voice to people that otherwise may not have one is one of the very few powers that people like me actually do have. So, yeah. You know, in this instance with Taken at Birth, you know, these are people that have been wronged for years and years and years and years. And if not for me, and if not for people like me who just kind of stumble on a fraction of the story, they might stay silent forever. And that's heartbreaking. And so the idea that we can do something, look, I can't guarantee you it's going to get on TV, but I can guarantee you at least I'm going to listen. And if it seems like something that other people should know about, then I'm going to work my ass off to make sure other people hear it. And that's basically how that came about.
Yeah, I want to tell people awesome. What this is. So Taken at Birth, it was a three-night special on TLC that Michael, of course, executive produced. It's basically the untold stories of the Hicks babies, they're calling them. There's more than 200 newborn babies were illegally sold or given away. It's just it's from the back steps of a small-town Georgia clinic. Run
holy shit
by a Dr. Thomas J. Hicks in the 50s and 60s. And it's just, I mean, did I miss anything, or is that a pretty good synopsis?
No, I mean, that's a really good synopsis. I mean, the way it sort of began is there's a group of, like, I want to say six or eight of them, and they kind of came together in the age of social media because they all realized that they were connected in some way, but they didn't know how. Essentially, all of their birth certificates, and this is all shit that wasn't on this show because you can't get into the minutia of this, but just to kind of give you some background on how I came about it, they connected on Facebook because their birth certificates were all similar in the same ways. Essentially, their dates were wrong, their adoptive parents were listed as their birth parents, but their place of birth was listed as this Hicks Clinic in McKaysville, Georgia. And so they connected with one another sort of by happenstance, and they were trying to investigate, figure out, like, what's this about? Where did we come from? We know our parents that raised us paid, you know, $500, $600, $800 and literally just kind of took us away in a banker's box. That's actually how they were transferred from the clinic to a car. And so I reached out to them and was like, look, this is, there's a story here. And no offense to these folks, but, like, you know, they're in their 50s and 60s. Maybe they're not equipped to sort of do this kind of investigative journalism that it would require. And we kind of dug in. A partner of mine named Lucy, who's chef, I know you've met a handful of times, but Lucy and I just kind of dug our feet in, and we're like, we're going to figure something out. And ultimately, we were able to decipher that there were 241 children that were born in this clinic and then taken from their birth parents. The birth parents, we're told that the babies died at birth. So essentially, they were stillborn or they died shortly thereafter. And, you know, it's 1962 in Georgia. Why wouldn't you believe your doctor when he tells you such a thing? And that doctor then would then just turn around and sell that child to a different family out of state. So it's really, really nuanced because it gets much creepier than that. But that's kind of the gist of how that story unfolded, how I was able to sort of become a member of their little community briefly, and then help them to tell the world, you know, what happened to them.
I mean, someone's got to tell the story, right? I mean, Jesus, and you know that these guys have probably their whole life. I would guess, Jeffy, I would guess that they got to feel these babies after what's happened to them, and they grow up. They've got to feel like something's always just feels not right, or something always feels a little off, you know?
I would imagine it's something like that. I would imagine. It would be like one of those like ringing truths when they finally hear the story, or when they do like their 23andMe and they're like, it does make sense. I do look nothing like these people.
It's like confirming it, right? I mean, so how did that go, Michael? Did you guys, Jeff brought up 23andMe, like the DNA testing and all that. Like, how did that go down?
Most of these folks knew they were adopted. Like, their adoptive parents, you know, it's easy to say, well, you should have known this was fucked up. You paid $400 and you got a baby in a literal cardboard box.
I mean, that's what they were next. Like, there's a lot of finger pointing here. Like, do you get the people who raised you? Maybe they raised you great though and took care of you and were great parents. But still,
yeah, that's the thing. Like, unanimously, all of the people that I met, the parents that raised them were wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You know,
that's awesome.
It is awesome, but you know, and those people were desperate. They make decisions that, you know, certainly in retrospect and in 2020, we realized was probably fishy and they should have questioned a little bit. But, you know, to their credit, they did what they were supposed to do as parents. Now, they trusted a doctor as well. The people who have been wronged the most, are probably the birth mothers. But the idea that these people were raised in for the most part, loving homes, not entirely, but for the most part, loving homes. I mean, that's a silver lining. You don't know that they wouldn't have had that if had they stayed with their birth parents, but they don't seem to hold a grudge against the parents that raised them, and that's good. Like, I don't want to destroy any families, kind of making sure people know this, but we didn't discover any people that did not know that they were adopted. Most people knew at least that the people that raised them were not the people that birthed them.
Just a fucking crazy story, man. Just some backwoods-ass Georgia. Wow. I mean,
It's in the South. It doesn't surprise me that much. I mean,
Jeffy, you've accused me of being a backdoor baby. I got sold out of a backdoor because I'm from down south. That was messed up.
I'm not sure if I actually said that. It was something like that. It's dumpster baby.
I heard it. I think it was not exact terms.
It's not helpful, Dave. Honestly, this story has just got to be crazy. And how long did it take you guys to shoot all this?
So we did digging, and we were part of their lives for about a year and a half before a network got on board. And then between the time that TLC attached to the time it aired was almost another year and a half. So it was about 3 years between the time I read that first story about the handful of people, reached out to them, and it's airing. I want to say it was like 3 years and like a week that before it actually aired. So it took a long time. These things take a long time. But yeah, it's a dark place to live. You know, as much as it shouldn't really weigh on you if you're not a part of that community, it's hard not to, at least for me. Like I have a really hard time sort of separating myself from the work because these are real people. And, a lot of times I'm the only person that's ever sort of asked them what they want people to know and how they want to tell it. And that's a lot of pressure. And it's one that I take willingly. I'm not forced to do this, but it's the kind of thing that I can't force a network to buy it. And if they all had passed, that's, you know, it's a tragedy, but, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure people hear it and understand the sort of the gravity of what we're doing. And that's kind of been my strength. And the reason that I think casting's helped a lot is that I care about people, and it's not just a matter of, like, you know, Chef, you can attest to this. Like, it's not just a factory. Let's get it cast and get it over with. These are real human beings we're talking about. 100%. And so, you know, I've always sort of prided myself on making sure I stay connected to people that are good enough people that, you know, they don't deserve to just kind of be talked to, interviewed, and then just kind of tossed aside. And some people that's fine. Like, they don't really care. They don't expect to hear from us again or whatever. But then, you know, if it's something like this, where these people have lived 50 years being abandoned, I'm absolutely positively never in a million years going to just be like, oh, fuck it, it didn't work out.
Right.
Like I can't do that. And so, you know, it took a long time, but that was ultimately, I'm really pleased with the way it turned out. And, you know, frankly, it ended up being a really powerful thing to watch. And, you know, even watching it myself, where I know a hell of a lot more than the show shows, but it's still really difficult to watch because these are real stories and real hurt. And, I'm very proud that we were able to tell those stories, but it is difficult to kind of realize that, you know, what if I didn't press it hard, and what if I didn't interview people, and what if I didn't kind of push over and over again, like then the world ends without them being heard. And that's much worse for me.
Well, you guys got to check this out. You can see it on Hulu. It's available, Taken at Birth. Of course, on TLC.com, you can find it there as well, Taken at Birth. If you want to, it's actually on the TLC YouTube channel. You can watch all the episodes there. They're like $2 each. Definitely, like, we're living in the world of being quarantined, Jeffy and Dave. I mean, this is something to check out. It's great program. It's a fantastic story. And trust me, it's done very, very well. You got to check it out, man. It's great stuff, dude.
Oh,
definitely, dude. I got Hulu. I'm gonna watch it after the show.
Absolutely, yeah. It sounds a thousand times more exciting than Tiger King. It sounds like
that. You know, it's funny you mentioned it because we got a nice little bump. It launched on Hulu on April 1st, and there was a nice little, you know, like it kind of minor trends on Twitter, like, holy shit, do you know this show? And like, you know, it aired in October on TLC for real. And people, listen, the response was wonderful when it aired for real, but like it's having a second life now, which I'm very happy about. And like, yeah, obviously this is a weird time to be alive, but you know, if you're going to be watching something, I'm very pleased that something I helped to kind of bring to the world is having that sort of little bit of a second life. That's wonderful. I couldn't be happier.
Well, clearly, if you watch it, you'll see, and I've watched it, and there's more to tell there. There's definitely more. There's more to tell. I mean, so is there a chance that we get a second season of it, or we don't know yet, or what's?
Yeah, I mean, so there. Yeah, it's tricky because.
Or can you not even talk about that? You know, I don't know what the rules
are. So yes,
we're buddies.
And no.
Tell me to shut the fuck up if you want to. It's fine.
It's fine. It's a matter of, do we continue telling this story or do we find another story that's similar? Because I promise you, this isn't the only doctor that was selling babies out of the back of his clinic.
Wait, there's
you
fucked up
I mean?
Doctors that deal with like babies and fertility shit? No,
I guarantee it.
Wow.
So that's the thing. It's like, where do you draw the, like, do you continue with this story that people have kind of gotten invested with these characters, or do we find another one and do another 6 hours? And it's like, it's such a difficult question to answer because people care about Steven a lot. Like, if you watch the shows, there's a guy who features prominently, and he's it's heartbreaking to watch his episodes, and like you want to know what happened to him, and you want to hope that he has a relationship with you know, his birth sister. But is it worth investing in continuing that story until it's stale? I would hate to kind of make people tired of these people who are literally just trying to live their lives. But at the same time, you're right. There's a hell of a lot more to that story. And, you know, I have a feeling we'll never know the full truth, but, you know, I'm game. If they want to do another 6 hours, I'm certain we can fill it.
Nice. Absolutely, man. Well, Jeffy, tell some people where they can find some more information about Michael.
Absolutely. You want to go to michaelpetrella.com, and you can check him on Instagram at mpetrella11. And I'm not sure. What's your OnlyFans, Michael?
Oh, you know what? I was going to just watch yours later and see if I could get any pointers. So I have I'll set it up tomorrow. Maybe this weekend you'll see me.
Yeah, I have a niche beaver pelts and lower back hair.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, man, we all have our things, man. Don't knock it. You know what? You should have me back about the shows that I've done that never made it to air, because there's some shit on air that it sounds like you would have been perfect for. I wish I would have known you 8 years ago.
We can always revisit these and try to bring them out of the archives, you know, just bring them back to life. You know, I'm always available.
There was one. I don't. I mean,
go
are
for
we
it.
Cut close to time? I don't want to keep you guys.
Hey, whatever you want, brother. Go
please.
So we did the show, and I guess it's safe now because it's been years. But we filmed a pilot. And it was for Showtime, and it was about. And look, it's going to sound silly, but I think everyone's heart was in the right place. But it was essentially about the industry that exists that I was not aware of, but for larger people, plus size people, who have intimacy issues because literally their frame doesn't allow for certain acts, and so it was a sex positive show for very heavy couples.
And it became my 600-pound life is what happened. It transferred.
I mean, honestly, you know how many shows I've actually done that it became something else. But yeah, this one, it was just a legit, how can we have sex? Like, literally, how can we have sex?
Well, you got to give an example. Give us an example.
Like the logistics of it?
Yeah. Yes. So I was on the phone. There's a couple of there's at least
I am
two,
so turned on right now.
There's Jesus. At least two companies that you know, aids essentially for people that have a larger frame. And first of all, that's wonderful. I'm glad
exists. Wait, hang on, Michael. Absolutely. What counts as a larger frame?
So an issue that apparently exists among that community is sometimes your belly perhaps comes too far ahead of your genitals, and therefore it's a difficult time to sort of reach one pair of genitals to the next.
Wait,
so
Dave, time out. Dave, did you just say the name of the syndrome?
Yeah, Dunlap.
Oh my god.
Shut up, Dunlap.
I don't know why you know that.
it's like when your belly Dunlaps your belt.
Okay, terrific.
Oy.
Sorry, Michael. Yeah, there's just so much there. Not, everyone wants to jump
look,
in.
It's a wonder. It's I'm glad that there are companies out there that have this interest in mind, because there are people that need that kind of assistance. So essentially, it was we would have people from companies like that explaining how their products work and how they can help. And you know, I get it. It's not exactly an appealing thing that a lot of people are going to necessarily want to sit down and watch, but it is an important, at least, conversation to have. And I'm honored to be part of it. And you know,
the people
ultimately,
listen to this program will watch that shit in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing. Is like I've done so many shows that people will be like, "Oh fuck, I would have watched that." Like, yeah, mm-hmm. But it costs $8 million to make this thing, and more than like 11 people have to be interested.
Right. So just give us an example, like a size example, like how many pounds are we talking for these individuals?
I never asked that, but I did. So basically, one of the manufacturers. Yeah. But one of the manufacturers I had on a call, and they were all about it. Obviously, I mean, you know, their market's pretty niche. But
what do you mean manufacturers? You know, what are we manufacturing?
The tools and stuff.
Yeah, basically, there's like a almost like a piece of fabric that will you can hold in your hands that will lift your belly out of the way, or there are swings or things that you will put you in the correct position to make sure that things are comfortable for both partners.
You just put it right on her back and you can't run.
So you know, it was an interesting conversation to have because I'm actually a very small man, but the idea that you know, these are things I never would have thought about, and that was sort of the point. Is
I
that
have
people?
So many questions.
Oh, fire away! I'll do my best to answer them.
Did you actually like film some people using these things and like making sure they work? You shot a porn? Right.
No. So we did like demos. We did film. We had three couples. We had three couples go to a house in San Francisco. With a coach, essentially. And
this sounds
like
a real sex episode back in the day on HBO.
It would have been a perfect real sex episode. It really, really would have been.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea we were going to spend so much time on this, but this is so interesting.
Guess whose idea that was, Chef?
Oh, that's yours.
No.
That was yours. Stop hiding it. Yes, it was.
I cast the shit out of it. But I did not come up with that idea.
Whose was it?
It was Lucy. That's a Lucy idea.
She's a crazy person and sounds like so much fun.
I love her. I think that's such a cool idea.
And she's Canadian too, right?
She's not. She's in LA. She's British. She worked for a Canadian company for a while. It was funny because she and I get along really, really well. But we were on that call with that manufacturer, and he says verbatim, Lucy, Michael, are either of you plus size? And we were like, no, we're not. We're just sort of interested in your products and sort of figuring out how to get them to people who need them. And the guy insisted on sending us each a box of the things that they make.
Amazing.
And so
can I get some of those?
Sure enough, on my porch, because my address is listed on certain like production websites, sure enough, shows up. I open the box. My wife's there. She's like, "What the fuck? Like, what do you have planned?"
I just want to point out really quick. Michael is an incredibly attractive man. He's fit. He's in great shape. His wife is gorgeous and beautiful, and they're both like fit, beautiful people. Next thing you know, they're getting
plus size sex toys
shipped to your house, and your wife is like the nicest person. What the fuck?
We weigh 250 combined.
Yeah.
So I was touched because it was like, look, this person is really wants us to help the community that he serves, but it was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with any of this stuff. And so finally, I had a friend who was like, this is great. You know, I could actually use a couple of these things. I'm like, take them. I'm glad someone will get some use out of these things. If you need them, there's no shame. You know, I'm super glad that it exists. I'm just not one of the people that's going to require these particular things.
Was there like a reinforced sex swing with like an industrial spring or something?
That actually was one of the things. Yeah, there's a company that will come over and find the cross beams and stuff and make sure that it's structurally sound. And you know, it's the kind of thing that you can sort of laugh about, but like legitimately, I'm thrilled that it exists. Like if there are people that need that, then you know that's better than going without for the rest of your life just because you're heavier than you had hoped. So
what about
you know,
just
I
put the donuts down.
Nah.
I mean, ask your friend.
Why are you hating?
I don't know.
Ask your friend. Do you have the number of the company for the swing thing?
Listen, what? I was going to go to Dave here because he's been very quiet. Dave, when you hear a story like this, what do you think, man? Are you like, I look that shit up on Pornhub?
I mean, I don't look that shit up on Pornhub, but I mean, Jeff had a point, put it on their back. But at the same time, you know, you might want to be hands-free or something. I don't know. I'm really intrigued about it.
I mean, I learned a lot.
At first, when you were saying like it's an aid to help him, I'm gonna sound like a dick, but I was thinking like some sort of hoist, like for an engine or transmission. But then once you said like I can say this, I'm fat. I used to be way fatter. I used to have a dumbass.
Well, it's actually interesting because Dave, you were like 450, right? At one point.
Yeah. At one point, yeah.
And he lost a shit ton of weight.
Well, that's the thing. Like you know, there are folks who perhaps
gained that kind of weight in their life, and like, you know, there's a million reasons why that can happen. We all know that. So it's almost like you want people to be aware that there are options for them, and you know, for intimacy, if they're happily married and this is the kind of thing that they miss out on, that's sad. And like, I'd really, you know, it seemed like a project where we could maybe help some people out. And, yeah. And honestly, I think we helped those three couples out at least. But look, dude, that's not even like in the top 15 of weird shit that I've had to, you know, either cast or make.
We should do a series, the weird shit Michael cast. Just like a 15 minutes on every episode.
You can't. I actually counted the other day how many hours of programming that I've cast that made it to TV versus development projects, and I want to say development was like 2-1. Oh, and man, I've made a lot of shit that made it to TV. So it's there amazing. Have been a million ideas that for one reason or another don't work out, but you know, honest to God, we could have an entire conversation about just failed development projects.
Well, we kind of are. I don't know what happened, but we kind of are. But listen, I do want to get to one that's actually – you got one going on right now. You're doing a casting right now for a new Food Network program, I think, right? Is it a Food Network show?
Yeah,
say that?
It is. Yeah, well, no, it is. I'm pretty fortunate. I'm actually fairly busy during quarantine, which sounds ridiculous because we have no idea what's going to happen television landscape wise at the end of this. But yeah, you know, I've been entrusted again by Food Network. I've done a million things for them in the past, so they know I can accomplish what they're looking for. But we are doing a new pilot. We've got a host attached. The host is one of the people that's on the network all the time. The basic idea, that I can't give away too much, but the basic idea is we're looking for three groups of two. And each of those groups know each other, whether they're, you know, married and they're friends or they're neighbors or they're coworkers or whatever. And the idea is they're competing against one another. They don't have to be pros, but just kind of, you know, pretend they know what they're doing in the kitchen. And hopefully they're not bullshitting, like they actually can make a nice meal.
But you don't want basically actual chefs, right?
Correct. Yeah, we want people that are like, you know, like, look, I know what I'm doing in the kitchen. I make a mean, you know, brisket or whatever. So people that are kind of self-described, you know, experts in the kitchen, but not actual pros. Those three groups will be competing against one another, with the chef sort of helping to judge and also helping to kind of step up their game a little bit. So it's fun. There's a lot of like smack talk, which is sort of the point, is like if we have people that are comfortable kind of making fun of each other's abilities, and you know, even if it's good-hearted, that's sort of the point, is like we're having fun. This we're not breaking any atoms here. Like it's not rocket science. We're making meals and we're having friends over for dinner. It's fine to make fun of the fact that I can't do this thing. So that's my sort of impression coming out of the quarantine seems to be that people are looking for kind of good natured and fun, and we can laugh and get together again and have a good time, which is essentially what this pilot's all about. Is if we have six people that know each other and they're comfortable being like, hey asshole, you burned the sauce, that's, you know, that's all this show's about, essentially. Be like, look, we're gonna get together at the end of the day, it's all love, but in the meantime I will kick my friend's ass because I'm a better cook than he is.
Well, it just hit me. I may have somebody for you. It literally just hit me as you're describing that. I know you've told me before about this, and I was trying to think who I knew. Basically, all the guys I know are all chefs, and you don't want any of that. But actually, it just hit me. I may know somebody who may fit in very, very well there. So
I'd love to have that. They're open to the idea of, like, if an episode here or there, you know, the three groups each have a chef in it, that's fine. But it would be completely unfair, of course, to have one group with a, you know, one of you three guys on there, and then the other two are like your neighbors. Like, that's a, you know, a layup for you. So, you know, the idea is it's either all of them are chefs or none of them are chefs.
Right, right. And if people want to get information or send you stuff, how do they do that?
They can visit my website. That's probably the easiest way because my email address is there. But that would be swell, and I can put together something for you to share if you like. Make it easier, even.
Yeah, do that. We'll get it out there, and we'll all push it. Dave, myself, Jeffy, we'll all push it out there. And trust me, Jeffy's one of the most connected people you'll ever meet. He knows everybody.
Great. Yeah, I'd love that.
So that's a good way to do it.
We're a couple. No. We were initially. I was hired to cast the pilot, and I think they were happy enough that they said, well, how about we make it four episodes? So I think that I take that as a good sign, and so we do have a couple spots still to fill. So I would love to anybody you guys awesome. Know, or anybody listening that wants to kind of take part in such a thing. I'll give you an example, and I don't know if I should, but I'm going to anyway. But we had a couple of groups that I've been interviewing, and one guy was making fun of a guy in a different group, saying the guy owns a restaurant. Like he's not a chef, he's not a restaurateur, he owns a pizzeria. But he's like, he owns a restaurant, but every time we go to his house, his meals are bullshit. He's like, shouldn't he be the best one? get pizzeria guy on camera just to kind of be like, yeah, I don't want to tell him that his friend said that yet. And, you know, he was like, look, I don't understand how anyone could beat me. I'm a legit pro. And I was like, fuck, those two things do not go together. So they clearly have different ideas about one another, which is kind of the whole point. You know, it's gonna blow up in somebody's face. And so I guess we'll see which one.
That's what they want. They want it to blow up. That'd be fun to look at. So if you guys are interested in that, find Michael. You can hit him on Instagram. Hit me up on Instagram. You can go to his website, Chef. I can already call you Chef. How about that? MichaelPatrella.com is info there. And he's going to send over something that we can get out there, Jeffy and Dave, myself. We can start posting and get it out there for everybody. We'll find some people. Trust me. We got a plan. We can make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously don't know what's going to happen on the other end of this. But the plan originally was for this to film in June. But, you know, I think we all know that it's probably going to be pushed, but ultimately we can still get it cast. We can still know where we're filming. We can still know who's involved, you know, that kind of thing. So that's basically what I'm after, is to make sure that the network is in a good place, that when everything is back to quasi normal, we can get the ground sprinting and we're not starting from scratch.
Well, man, it's fun because I know we can't talk a lot about a whole bunch of other projects, but you got a project on Netflix that's coming out. That's going to be fucking incredible. We can't wait for that.
That's bananas.
Yeah, which is just, we can't, I mean, I feel bad saying something that we can't talk about, but, you know, I mean, it's, yeah.
Well, I'll say that, it's oddly similar to Taken at Birth, but, like, you can't imagine kind of the twists that one is taken. So, you know, it's similar situation. I kind of found this story on my own. And we've been working on it for, it's actually been 2 years and 4 months now. And so it's same story. It's just, it's, there's so many layers. And so Netflix, they did officially, make an offer and buy it. And so we were hoping it would have been, can you imagine if this was on instead of Tiger King when people were,
God.
I mean, I know the story, but you can't share it a whole lot, but like if that was on already, whew.
Oh my God. It would be phenomenal right now.
I love Tiger King. So I'm not shit talking. Like, I was fucking awesome. I enjoyed the
hell out of it. Fantastic. Me too.
I'm so angry because that's my wheelhouse. Like, I'm so angry I didn't find that guy first. That's exactly the kind of thing I've spent my entire life doing. I watched it, like, in this kind of half anger, half like, all right, dude. Nice find.
You got stuck with me.
Have you ever thought about going and following juggalos around?
Coming from Detroit, it's an interesting sort of.
Well, wait a second, Michael. That's interesting because Dave here is from Detroit as well.
Yeah, Dave's from real Detroit, though. I think we talked about this once already. I grew up outside the city, the juggalo. Like, look, I've done a lot of stuff. And I've been involved with some very scary people, and nothing actually scares me, like, for real, like juggalos.
Really?
I love it. Me too.
I know they're harmless. Like they're going to keep in their lane. I've got no beef with them whatsoever. But, like, the fact of the matter is, if I were to piss off the people that were featured on Taken at Birth, I would be devastated. Ultimately, I don't think they would seek retribution. If I start doing like a show about juggalos and it falls on its face, like 90% of these shows do, I'd be fucking terrified. Like, I the last people I want to be angry with me is that group of people, because they're so serious about their community, and they shouldn't, frankly.
Family,
so, like, the idea that, like, they're very intimidating to me, and I will not lie to you. I've researched and I've sort of looked into it, and I'm fascinated by it. But it's the kind of thing that I am really hesitant to sort of get involved in too much because I've had my credit card stolen by an 85-year-old fucking doctor already. So I don't want to know what these guys could do.
Dave, we'll make it quick because we got to move on from this stuff. But Dave, you've got some roots in the Juggalos. You know, should Michael be afraid of them? I don't think there's anything to be afraid of, is there?
It depends. Like, if it's in the normal 9-to-5 setting, nah, you're good. But if you're at the gathering, and I mean, you're always welcomed, but like, if you're at the gathering, like, shit gets crazy.
That's my thing. Like, they're not going to seek violence out. Like, they're never, like, I'm not afraid of Juggalos coming to my house today.
But if you just go to the gathering and interview everybody, I'll go with Plum. It'll be great. We have two totally different point of views on this.
So, right. So the thing is, like, I'm super interested in that community, like any sort of community like that. Like, I want to know about the thing that I'm afraid of is if something doesn't work out. And look, it's very rarely, you know, my doing. It's sometimes Netflix or HBO or whoever, like, they're just not interested and they decide to go into something else.
You'd be fine.
Like, I'm terrified of people trusting me and then sort of dropping the ball, and then also they're very protective of what they've already told me. Like, you know, I don't want anyone's trust to feel like it's been violated, particularly Juggalos.
Oh my god!
They would talk to us because would put on the face paint. We'd be out there.
We wear lucha masks.
We have alter egos.
We do. It'd be great. It'd be fantastic.
We'll get you in. We'll bring you in. To the family.
Into the family.
That's the way this business works for me, man. I kind of find one person that makes sure that they know they can trust me, and then they're introduced me to the rest, and I do everything in my power to make sure that there's nothing that they feel they're not being listened, or they're not being heard, or they're not being, you know, their trust is misplaced. And like, that's, you know, ultimately that's all I can do. But like, there are certain communities where that scares the shit out of me because I don't want to let anyone down, particularly people who care so deeply about their, you know, the story that is very personal to them.
Man, yeah. You're right. It's a personal story, and those guys get serious about that stuff. But brother, I mean, there's so many stories. I feel like there's just so many things to talk about. I'd be remiss if I didn't let, you know, a good brother jump on the phone here and just say what's up to you, man. Your brother from another mother came down and worked a project with you and me. One only Chef Dan is joining us online.
What's up, Dan?
What up? What up? What's going on?
What's up, dude? Good to hear from you, man.
We were Dan.
We're text messaging like what, an hour ago?
yeah, we've been on it. Lucky I'm awake.
Dan's been working his ass off, man. He's out there saving the world,
killing it,
one person at a time, and still running his job. He's doing his thing. Dan, you met Michael, and you guys ended up just becoming besties, man. It was crazy.
Yo, that's my brother. This guy here, man. You know, I never connected with a dude like this guy. This guy, man, he's like the coolest. He's been hitting hip hop rhymes. He's flowing. He got the hair. He got the looks. This dude got the whole package. I'm like, who is this guy? Like, he came from outer space and just came down with, yo, what's going on? I'm that guy. It was amazing.
I mean,
I gotta tell you, man.
I've
heard much worse things said about me. That means the world to me. Thank you.
Look, we were riding around Pittsburgh together, you, me, and Dan, and you were playing the fucking most amazing hip hop loud, and you know all the words. It was fucking amazing.
That's my stuff, man. Well, look, I grew up on Motown and funk, and that's just kind of in my veins, and there's a real natural progression then to sort of certain hip hop at least. And so I think people are surprised. I know you were surprised. Chef was like, what the fuck?
Took me off guard, bro. I was like, what? But it took 2 minutes and I'm right there with you.
Yeah, well, no doubt. Look, man, I'm not, it's again, I think it has a lot to do with community too. Like, it's music that people give a shit about deeply,
right?
And it's never half-assed, and if it is, you can see right through it. And like, those are the kinds of messages and stories that speak to me on no matter what the media is. But the idea that people who are legit kind of, you know, hip-hop folk, like, they've seen some things, and they've seen some things that I will never see, and I don't take that for granted. And like, the idea that, you know, it sounds ridiculous to compare really filthy hip hop to like Taken at Birth, but the idea that like there are people who are living lives that otherwise I would never know about, I think those are important voices to hear. And you know, the extra kind of base hit that goes along with it is a bonus for me. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, like, there are so many stories in the world. And if you only hear your own and people like you, you are missing out on so much. And so that's what's kept me going all these years, doing sometimes just ridiculous stuff, is that I know for a fact that no matter what dumbass idea is pitched to me to go cast, I will find someone interesting to talk about it. And that's, to me, why I keep doing what I do. I love talking to people. I love hearing their story. And I love sort of, you know, I don't know anything about truck drivers, but I've cast a couple shows about it, and, like, it's fascinating. And so, you know, the idea that if I'm expected to cast only things I know, that's fucking boring, bro. I didn't go to film school for that. So it's my honor to meet these kinds of folks that live lives that are stuff that I would otherwise never, ever know about.
Awesome.
That's badass, man. If you want to know more about Michael, check out his website, michaelpetrella.com, or go to his Instagram page, mpetrella11. And give him a follow. His OnlyFans will be up really soon. And we're working with
casting,
him on it.
The show is casting.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you're interested in the show he's casting, the Food Network pilot, you need a threesome of twos, hit him up on his website. There's his emails on there.
Or you just be a duo. Just be a duo and hit him up, you know?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I mean, as long as people, they don't have to know each other, but it certainly works better. Like, you know, what kind of a prick are you going to feel like you going into someone's kitchen being like, oh, you fucked up the bread?
I know a lot of people out there that are like, I know communities of people that meet and eat together that I think this would be a great thing for them to get, like some of the best ones out of them to get together and just talk shit.
Yeah, one of the episodes we've got cast, it's siblings. It's three siblings, and they swear up and down that they're the best chef of the family. And, like, there's no way to sort of break that tie. And that's where our host and the viewers come in and be like, well, we'll tell you who the better cook is. So they're thrilled. They can't wait for someone who's not their mom to tell them who the better cook is.
Well, look, last couple for me there, Mike, and we'll get you out of here. I know it's getting late, but that whole story about the large people and sex, that we had to talk about that. That was amazing.
Oh, what was that called? I just need a name.
I'm almost embarrassed to say it. Like, that's the worst part of it. And so, all right, look, here's the thing.
No backstory, just say it.
Lucy is she's one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. She has this, like, incredible ability to come up with a title first, and then find out, what is that show about? And this is a perfect example of that, because it was called
Can I just give you my what I think it is?
Actually, that's a good idea, Jeffy. Let's let all the boys here give you a name, and you can pick which one you like or which one's closest. All right, Jeffy, give it to him.
All right. Sexy Heavy Helpers.
Terrible.
It's exactly what's in the box. I'll tell you what's in the box just by the title. No, that's not close.
Dave, can you come up with a name for this show, Dave?
It might be offensive, but you know what I can say? Whale of a Time.
Ooh.
Ooh. Not bad. Not bad. Dan, what do you got? You got a name for it?
Oh, it's everything I want to say is extremely offensive.
Oh my gosh,
there's just no way around it.
Just blurt it out, you're fine. It's all fictional.
Unless it has Jeff in the title, I don't care.
Alright, give it to us, Dan.
Man.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
How about aircraft carriers?
What? Stupidest name ever.
What?
Michael, I got it for you. I got it for you, Michael. You ready? It's simple. It's easy. Heavy Hitters.
Oh, that's a really good one, actually. Here's the thing. I felt bad, like, telling people what the working title was, but they all laughed. So I was like, all right, we're on board here. It was called Big Bangers Theory.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, that's good.
You know what? I think I knew that, too, and I forgot.
I thought Heavy Helpers was good too. I don't know why you guys are hating on that.
Dan, you can't be like, I forgot. I thought that's what it was. I remember. I knew that. And then your shit you threw out was aircraft carriers.
We might have talked about it.
Yeah, we did. We definitely talked about it. Yeah.
Well, look,
I just remember the name.
Michael, last couple, man, for me, man. I know it's getting late. We need to get you out of here. Unless you want to hang with us, it's up to you. But
Whatever.
The world's changing, man. Coronavirus is kind of kept us all in quarantine. We're all watching stuff. Everything's kind of put on hold. Production for things are put on hold. What happens after this, man? Do you think the world's going to be open for new content or what? Because, I mean, listen, you and I have talked about that, everything from apps to download on your OTT box. Dude, I downloaded that Pluto app to check out. Like, you just just checking things out all over the place, the way the world is changing. And you know as well as I do, you know, content doesn't have to necessarily be on TV anymore to actually be successful. It's just the definition of success for professional content is definitely way more varied now than it was even 5 or 6 years ago. What happens when this is over with?
I don't know. I think anyone that claims to know is full of shit. I think that we, you know, week to week, things change in the best of times. So for things like, you know, what we're going through now as a planet, to kind of know how things are going to end up on the way out, I think is misguided. I think, though, honestly, I think things will steadily get back to what they used to be, at least in terms of how things work, like the machinations of the industry. But I do think the content will change. I don't know if the delivery will change. I think that if people were to have, SNL is actually a really, really great example of this. Like they've been doing it from home, and you know, in 2019 that would have never flown ever. People would never put up with that. But I think now people understand that sometimes there are circumstances that are out of our control. And if there was a show that had something to do with Zoom, or we're seeing eight people react to the same video in the middle or whatever, I don't think I don't think it'll be dismissed out of hand. I think that there's people understand now that this is the way that people communicate. It's not just the one way. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's good news. You know, I
American Idol, what they've done with that show, and listen, I'm not a giant American Idol fan. My family is. I'm not. I watched it just because, you know, listen, I'm in the industry. I want to watch and see what's going on. Right. They did a fantastic job with it. Yeah, it was really good.
Oh, it's great. And, that, you know, that's the thing, too, is even for this Food Network show that I'm casting right now, generally speaking, it would be a little bit of a handful to get people together to sort of, you know, schedule a time for us to get on Skype or FaceTime or whatever. But now it's completely and totally acceptable. In fact, it's hilarious when I have two screens at the same time and we're recording like side by side Zoom or whatever. And, you know, those are things that, you know, 6 months ago would have been unheard of. Like I would never have been allowed to deliver something like that. And so, you know, those kinds of things are changing. And I think that that's great. I think that I think that people are more open than the networks and whoever else thought they may have been to sort of different ways of doing things. And that's a win for all of us, because, you know, does everything have to be shot on 4K cameras? No. I mean, it's wonderful that they are. And there are certain things that I probably wouldn't want to watch in a Zoom telecast, you know, like Planet Earth would have been bullshit. But the idea that we can deliver things that are entertaining and are educational and do hold your attention and can do the job of making sure that people have something to sort of distract them from their other things, like, that's great.
Man, who knows? And I really, really hope that you know, people are looking for content, especially feel-good content. I really hope they're looking for that.
So from my experience, like, look, we're still in the midst of it, but my experience so far has been that, yes, people are either gravitating towards, you know, the stuff like Tiger King, where it's you know, it's illicit and it's dangerous and it's you know, there's potentially murder. Those things are never going to go away because the intrigue is inherent. But the kind of middle of the road stuff that used to be like, let's manufacture some bullshit and some drama. I want to say my feeling, and I'm thrilled because I never liked working on shows like that to begin with. But my feeling has been that things are sort of shifting towards, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to kind of, you know, point out our foibles and just have a good time. And it doesn't have to be something that we've cooked up to make you enemies with someone else on screen. Like, you know, even the Food Network pilot we're doing, there's going to be a lot of shit talk, but it's all good natured. It's all people that love each other dearly. It's never going to be hurtful. And if it was, I wouldn't be a part of it. And so my sense
from the industry is that things are sort of leaning into that. Like, they're leaning into, can we have fun? Can the whole family laugh together? Can we sort of enjoy our time together because we had so much time apart?
Wow. Bro, you've sounded like the most intelligent human being out of this group. And I'm not saying
I am the most intelligent human being out of this group. I don't know about, but like, shit, man.
In the world.
One thing I've never been short on is confidence. So, you know, I this is the one thing I can speak about. We can either talk about the 90s Red Wings or this.
Or music. You do some good pop culture music stuff too, right?
I can probably hit you with some good music.
That's right. You guys got to follow.
Go back to 90s Red Wings.
You got to follow our boy Michael. Jeffy, tell them where they can get some information on Michael, where they can follow him. What a great conversation.
Absolutely,
really fun tonight,
man. GoodBrotherMichaelPetrella.com, but it's just MichaelPetrella.com. I just put the good brother on there.
I'm going to buy GoodBrotherMichaelPetrella.com now. Just
absolutely. And then his Instagram is MPetrella11, and his OnlyFans is going to be MPetrella Beaver Pelt 64.
That's it. Michael, you are the man, dude. We love hanging out with you. It's late. Jeffy's got a couple of news stories. You want to hang with us, but if you got to go, we totally understand.
Yeah, I can stick around a few more minutes.
All right, here we go. Let's do a little news stories here with Jeffy, because Jeffy always finds the best news. And the funnest part about it, Michael, is that we have a great sounder for it. Are you ready for this?
I can't wait.
Oh, it's fantastic. You got to hear this. Dan, I know you're tired. You want to hang out with us or you want to go?
I'm up. I'm going to stay.
All right, you're
going to boy. That's because I'm here. If I left, he would have left.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. We're going to make it quick. We have 5 more minutes or so, then we'll get out of here. All right, well, Jeffy, you got news ready to go. And if Jeffy's got news, that means we play this.
Bam. The news that matters to you. It's the news with Jeffy. Go fuck yourself.
All right, Jeffy, what else you got for us right now? What's happening out there in the world?
Well, I just read some positive news. Air pollution has dropped by 30% in the Northeast.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. People not commuting, people staying at home.
Yeah.
Is doing good things here for the Northeast of America, which is where we live, which made me feel really good. I thought that was a nice thing.
Well, that's a good thing. Well, Michael, do you see out there in the great city of Pittsburgh, is that happening too? Are people like actually adhering to the stay at home stuff, or are they over it?
Yes to both. But we never got it really, really bad. I'm very grateful for that. But we never got it really bad like New York did. But I mean, look, we live on a quiet street, but we have to cross kind of a main-ish thoroughfare to go to this big, beautiful cemetery where we walk the dog. And honest to God, we've had to wait for cars for 2-3 minutes. So I don't know where the fuck these people are going. But they can't all be essential workers, not in my neighborhood. So I don't know.
Where the fuck are these people going?
What's wrong with them? Yeah. Listen, I think we should make a scripted series about essential workers in a pandemic that all live in a house, MTV Real World style. That's what I want to do.
Okay, look, this is the kind of shit I can make happen in like 3 weeks. So, like, do you want, like, is there like one nurse in one, like, restaurateur? And what's the dynamic?
We have an ambulance driver.
We had a firefighter in there, of course. We got a guy who runs a taco stand down the street.
I know one or two of each of these so far. So
you gotta have a weed dealer.
But they can't call him that on the show.
Well, it has in a city where weed is legal, it works.
Well, still in Colorado. We're fine. Colorado.
How about a pharmacist?
I mean, he could work at the medical marijuana store.
Yo, and you got to have, like, the most attractive person out of the entire bunch has to be, like, the grocery store bagger.
I mean.
Yeah, I like that idea. I mean, he's also a model.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That could, in theory, be somebody, anybody.
And you have a plus-size model who still thinks that they're
me. It's me.
I think they're essential.
I'm a plus-size model.
That's it. This is going to be a great show. I can't wait. This is going to be on Vice next year. It's going to be amazing. All right, Jeffy,
here we go.
You
know, here's the thing, though. If I'm talking about it and Vice heard it, I'm sure it will be on Vice next year.
Fucking people. They always steal everything. Hang on.
Three fucking shows I've pitched them are on that network. So.
Unbelievable. The network's going under, so who cares? Fuck them.
Yeah, I don't care.
Fuck them. All right, Jeffy, you ready? You got news?
Yeah.
I got this sounder.
Yeah.
The news that matters to you. It's the news with Jeffy. Go fuck yourself.
All right. Well, we had our first court ruling the other day on some of the COVID travel bans, and it happened in Kentucky.
Of course it did.
Of course it did.
Yeah, the judge actually issued a preliminary injunction on prohibiting Kentucky state authorities from enforcing a travel ban order issued by the governor. They prohibited most travel in and out of Kentucky. It used to require anyone who crossed state lines to quarantine for 14 days. He's put a stop on that, which is good and bad news. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? I'm a little...
Who's going to Kentucky?
I'll tell you what. Going into Kentucky and literally...
Yeah, like cursing a grown man naked.
I mean, listen. I mean, is there any reason to go to Kentucky? Louisville's a fun place. I don't know. Like, why would you go to Bourbon. Kentucky?
Bourbon.
I've got...
you can get it shipped.
I've got two really, really great Kentucky stories, but neither are appropriate for this broadcast.
Oh,
so
come
it'll be...
on.
No, it all comes, like, I'll say is college hockey.
Okay.
College hockey.
A grown man naked.
That sounds dirty.
That's it right there. I mean, listen, why can't people just stay home?
Like,
just stay home a little bit longer. That's all you got
to
do.
The easiest thing in the world to do is nothing.
Stay home. Just stay home. Don't worry about your rights. No one's listen, you'll be able to travel all you want here very soon. Just stay the fuck home. Just stay home.
It's Kentucky. Not every meth dealer delivers, so sometimes you got to leave the house.
It's a travel issue, right? It's a travel thing?
Yeah. Sometimes you're paranoid because you think there's spacemen on your roof and you got to get out of the house.
Right.
By the way,
you team go.
Our new show we're casting, we just talked about the last story. We got to have a Lyft driver in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's everybody.
He's also a model, or she.
I could just, yeah. Well, how about we just cast a model and then sign him up for Lyft? That's how we do it in reality TV world.
Bam!
That's all we gotta do.
That's why we got you on here, man. That's why you get the big bucks.
Make some websites that says they've been doing it for a couple of years. It's really not that hard. I've done it before.
Oh,
oh my god!
You're gonna help my OnlyFans get awesome, bro.
Jesus! All right, Jeffy, you can do one more for us.
Yeah, I got one more.
All right, last one. That means I got this.
The news that matters to you. It's the news with Jeffy. Go fuck yourself.
So aggressive.
So this one sort of freaks me out. There's facial recognition technology and scanning systems that are being developed and introduced by some hospitals to aid COVID response efforts.
Wait, what?
Yeah. The New York City-based Clearwater AI reportedly is in talks with unnamed federal and state agencies to use its facial recognition tech to help trace COVID patients and their contacts.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, this is the beginning of some dystopian shit.
It's the end times,
yeah.
Huh?
New York City-based company previously developed a tool that allowed law enforcement to run video evidence through its system, database, public images to identify matches. Yeah, and now they're in talks to sell them to hospitals, and it's going to be used, you know, to be able, probably for travel eventually.
Michael,
they're putting them in airports everywhere.
Michael, without going too far down a rabbit hole, man, and just, you know, just in talk, and no one's taking a stance on anything here. I mean, you hear all this crazy shit going on with this virus, man. I'm sure you've heard some of the crazy, like, you know, stories that are coming out, some of the crazy conspiracy theories. I mean, there's some pretty wild shit out there from people that when you look into it deep, you're like, well, I don't know, maybe that might make sense. I mean, have you heard anything insane that you've thought, like, wow, that actually kind of makes sense?
No. I mean, conspiracy theories in general, like, they're usually based, like, at least loosely on things that make sense. So, you know, there have been some strange things happening, I will admit, like, because I'm testing a different thing, too, a series of campaign ads, and... So there's been a couple of weird sort of things that don't seem to line up, but it could be something as easy as people want anonymity and they're using pseudonyms and that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, look, conspiracy theories, they have a place, but like usually the question I ask is, because I'll tell you this, my mom fucking loves conspiracy theories.
Like, she's all over it. And she thinks she has things figured out because she saw it on Facebook or whatever. But, you know, a question I always ask her, I'm like, who stands to gain from this? And so if there's a weird conspiracy theory where you're like, you know, Tom Hanks is actually a pedophile and that's why they put him on SNL so you could see that he was back. And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Like, none of that shit makes any sense whatsoever. Like, you're going to spend that much money and this much effort to prove something kind of that no one really thinks is true. Like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So, you know, that's the only thing I always ask him, like, who's benefiting? If the answer is nobody or you don't know, then it's bullshit.
Damn. That's pretty cut and dry right there. I mean, Dan, what about you, man? You're out there in the front lines. You're a front lines guy right now. Are people saying crazy shit when you're at work?
Nothing out of the ordinary. It's shit all day long. I mean, but no, I think conspiracy theories and this whole scanning the face thing is, it's whatever, man. If everybody's gonna believe, yo, they want to believe. Everybody sees out. These things. Well,
this is not a conspiracy theory. This is no, the no. news.
But I think that this the fear comes from the ideas behind other people's conspiracy theories of what they're gonna do with this, like what. Is the end game to having facial recognition? Is it to, you know, when people say, when people want to say, talk about the whole age 10 year thing, and they're like, oh, the FBI is now putting this out because of facial recognition, like the other 950 fucking selfies you took aren't gonna cause that.
That's so, what I was gonna say, like, if you think that people don't if they can't already do this, you're
yeah, exactly, they can already do it. Yes, yeah.
No, they can already do it. But the technology isn't readily available in hospitals. Now it's being,
you know,
now that it's public knowledge that it's in airports, it's being used in airports all over the place. But it's going to be, according to this, could be put in hospitals. And then what's the next step? And then say there is some sort of tightening of the screws because of, you know, everyone's living on government assistance and nobody's working, and they say, like, we have to do certain things or you don't get your government assistance and this and that, and then you want to, like, buck the system, but then you can't go anywhere because everywhere you go they know who you are because you have a Facebook page, and there's no fucking place to go because there's these facial recognition boxes everywhere. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Facial what? What was that word?
Facial recognitioning boxes.
I think you said a word that had like 47 N's in it. Facial recognition. I got an easy fix for you, Jeffy. This is all you do. I'll tell you what I do. I carry a pack of post-it notes. I carry post-it notes with me everywhere I go. And anytime I see a camera, I just put a post-it note over it. That's what I do.
Ooh.
Simple. Is that for real?
Simple.
Do you do that?
No, but I'm going to start doing that.
It's good. Yeah, but it's good.
I've met some people that would not even register as eccentric. So, like, that's the kind of thing that, like, I would not – if you told me that was true, I'd be like, huh, okay.
Like, I knew you were a little weird, but, huh.
I have pictures of that guy with the giant penis that's showing up everywhere.
Yeah.
And you mean that chef showed me, like, 11 times when he was in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. That
is that the one? Okay.
No, yeah, I don't know.
No, sure. It's another
Big
one.
Big Wood
it's
or whatever his name is.
It's another one.
The black dude that's on the bed that he keeps being shown up as, like, broccoli and everything else. Have you not seen the fucking memes? I get him in every picture, everywhere. It's great.
Yeah, we maybe know. When I sign up for OnlyFans.
That's it right there. That's it right there. Hey, look, big shout-out to Michael Petrella for joining us tonight, man. Dude, a lot of fun hanging out and just bullshitting and talking with you, man. Seriously, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
That's my pleasure, man. If you guys do want to have a failed development television thing without giving too much details, I mean, I have literally probably over 100.
We should do that. That sounds like fun. That sounds amazing. Hey, let me tell you what, Michael. This summer, you're going to come out to the Hamptons, and we have a project, and you're going to be a part of it, and it's not going to be a failed one. You're going to be like, fuck, this is pretty good. So, you know, right? I can't wait for that to happen, hopefully. But we have to do it from a social distance, and you have to wear a mask. So, but we were probably going to do that anyway, so it's fine.
I was going to say, if you and me are together, I'd prefer to be 7 feet or more away. So
that's hurtful. That's hurtful.
Dan, though. Dan's my boy.
Yeah, I know. Make sure you check out Michael on Instagram. Jeffy, what is it? mpetrella11, is that right?
That's right. mpetrella11 on Instagram and michaelpetrella.com. Hit him up and then look for Taken at Birth on tlc.com and on hulu.com. And it's also on, what'd you say, the TLC's YouTube channel?
Yeah, on the YouTube channel. YouTube. You can check it out there. You can go there, and I think it's like $2 an episode you can watch. And, support this stuff, man, because it's things like this that are great stories that great guys like Michael tell and get out there. And, I mean, it's definitely edge-of-your-seat type shit. This story is pretty fucked up. Taken at Birth on TLC. You got to get out there and check it out, man. It's pretty good. Jeffy, you're going to watch all of it, right?
I can't wait. I feel like we should maybe on the sign out. You should share the if you can play the what do you call it?
The trailer.
The trailer. Play the trailer? Yeah. Let everybody.
It's so good.
It sounds
crazy.
I can't wait to watch it. It sounds crazy.
Well, there it is, right there. Well, Michael, we appreciate your time, brother. Thank you so much. I'll try to play that. I guess we could. It's going to be long. That's all.
Is it long? How long?
You know, it's 2 minutes. We're getting late, long in the tooth here. All right, I'll play that shit. Well, we appreciate it, Michael. You are the man, and I look forward to hanging with you down the road. Dave, Jeffy, Dan, pleasure as always, my good brothers. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And friends, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure we give it the time it deserves. Take care of each other, and check this out, you guys. This is the trailer for Taking at Birth on TLC. We'll see you guys next week with our guest, Manit Chauhan.
How, for nearly two decades, does a doctor get away with illegally selling hundreds of babies out the back door of his clinic? How does that happen?
The doctor who illegally sold many of the babies he delivered.
It's a small town. You wouldn't have never thought that something this big would have been going on.
He requested $1,000.
They were told to come to the back door, and they handed a baby out and said, good luck.
We know now that he was telling women that their baby died and then he would sell them.
They put her in my arms and I said, isn't she awful tiny?
Those women deserved the truth, and they had a baby stolen from them.
His identity wasn't stolen. His life was stolen.
I was a black market baby, and I have been investigating Dr. Hicks for my entire life.
How was he able to keep this a secret?
Who knew about what was going on? When exactly did Dr. Hicks sell that first baby on the black market? What happened to the babies that didn't make it out of the clinic? There's still a lot of questions to be answered.
No wonder that there were so many walls put up for us. The authorities knew what Dr. Hicks was doing and either participated or looked the other way.
Luckily today, we have technology on our side. We have DNA. We can find them.
We did find a sister. She wants to meet you.
We're not going to give up. We're not going to stop searching until we have all of the answers.
Dr. Hicks took my biological family from me, and I deserve the truth.
They need to turn that off.
You want them to turn it off?
Sure.
I'm the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.